Malt, the 2025 Month 3 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of March to the 31st of March 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the credit group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Stephen will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of March, and we'll give a refresh on the core principles CREDET was built on. We will also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it, with some updates on CREDET. And lastly, Patrick would like to talk to you about the Equitable ETS at the end of this meeting. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
Thank you, Maria. And I hope everybody is enjoying this lovely afternoon. Exciting times are continuing at the deal desk. The first quarter of 2025 was buzzing with activity, and we are determined to keep that momentum going strong into the quarter and beyond. One very interesting company that we are in discussions with is an Irish micro-mobility company founded in 2022. Essentially, they sell wheeled sporting goods such as electric scooters and bikes. The company was founded by industry veterans with over 60 years of combined experience, aiming to revolutionize personal transportation through premium quality, innovation, and sustainability. Their philosophy centers on a quality-first approach, emphasizing three core pillars. The first being premium quality. The company challenges itself daily to produce durable products that are built to last, steering away from the culture of fast consumption. The second being innovation. They seek to break conventional norms by introducing products with enhanced functionality, focusing on small details that elevate the customer experience from good to great. Then lastly, sustainability. Their mission is to offer products with minimal environmental impact, promoting zero-emission transport for cleaner and quieter urban spaces. The company provides seamless customer support across all product lines, ensuring smooth, safe, and efficient experiences. Customers can reach out through their support channels for assistance, reflecting the company's commitment to customer satisfaction. In summary, this company stands out in the micro-mobility sector by integrating premium quality, innovative design, and sustainable practices, aiming to transform personal transportation in Ireland and beyond. And the deal that we're in discussions with them involves the purchase of electric scooters from a manufacturer in China to then be sold to a very well-known retailer in the United States. We are also in discussions with a company based in Suriname that specializes in the importation of industrial equipment and materials, particularly those relating to drilling and mining operations. The company has a notable history of importing barite lumps, which are minerals commonly used in drilling mud for oil and gas exploration. The company has sourced these materials usually from India. In addition to barite lumps, they import various industrial equipment and machinery. Notable imports include roller machinery spares, suspension magnet sets and pulleys, which are crucial components in drilling and pulverizing operations. These imports underscore the company's dedication to sourcing high-quality equipment to support the mining and drilling industries in Suriname. The company has established itself as a key player in Suriname's industrial sector by consistently delivering essential materials and equipment. Their strategic partnerships with international suppliers have enabled them to maintain a steady supply chain, ensuring that local industries have access to the necessary resources for their operations. They play a vital role in Suriname's industrial landscape, supplying critical materials and equipment for drilling and mining activities. And the deal that we're discussing with them involves them purchasing barite lumps from suppliers in Morocco, India, and China to then be sold in Suriname to processed in Suriname, should I say, and then sold to a buyer in Guyana. On the shipping side of things, then, we are speaking to a company based in India, which has carved a niche in the maritime industry by offering a comprehensive suite of services with over two decades of experience. The company was built has built a reputation for delivering reliable and efficient maritime solutions. The company provides technical management for oil tankers and various cargo vessels, ensuring adherence to health, safety, and security and environmental standards. Their services include planned maintenance systems implementation, major machinery overhauls, dry docking, and 24/7 technical support. The company offers management services for ports and terminals, ensuring efficient operation and adherence to regulatory standards. They provide various offshore services, including underwater inspections, ship repair, and shore-based maintenance, catering to the diverse needs of the maritime industry. They stand as a multifaceted entity in the maritime sector, offering a broad range of services. And the deal that we're currently speaking to them about involves the purchase of an offshore support vessel. The target vessel is owned by a Dutch company, and they are negotiating the sale through a German broker based in Hamburg. The vessel will be used as a maintenance vessel that will operate on the west coast of India. So we spoke about electric scooters today in the briefing. Electric scooters might seem like a modern invention, but the concept actually dates back to the early 1900s. The AutoPed, which was introduced in 1915, was a motorized scooter that the Postal Service in the United States used for deliveries. In recent years, then, in some countries, electric scooters are being used for delivery of food, medicine, and small parcels. One of the reasons is that they're quicker and easier to maneuver through traffic. So thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. I always enjoy our conversations. I'll pass you now over to Stephen. Thank you.
Just before you start, Stephen, thank you, George, for that, and indeed Maria. A couple of quick clarifications. I should have mentioned when we were talking about what you were just talking about in Suriname, I should have asked you to point out that we are very aware and acutely so of the difficulties of operating in that country with regard to, there's no current embargoes against it, but the company has stringent anti-money laundering and other financing standards. However, given the nature of the country in question, maybe not the best at enforcing those laws. So we are acutely aware of that. Just the same way as we were and are when doing business in Nigeria. So we're very careful in those countries. And exciting as the proposition might be, and we rejected many hundreds of opportunities in Nigeria, we will take the same view on this Suriname one, unless it absolutely stacks up to deal deck standards before we pass it to trade desk. It'll be very carefully scrutinized. And then just very quickly on the update on exchange traded securities, the ETS coming from Equitable, there actually is not much of an update, so I won't waste people's time at the end of this recording discussing those. We'll do it next month. So excuse my interruption. Stephen, I was told it was informal, so maybe I'm okay with that. And over to you. Thanks.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Patrick, and thanks, George. It's interesting to hear Deal Desk are involved in such a broad range of transactions from around the world. But for this month's Trade Desk presentation, we'll be staying a lot closer to home and discussing one of Credet's longest-serving originators who joined the exchange in 2013 when Credet was still in its infancy. Since then, the originator has become a value client and has traded significant sums across their debtor and creditor statements, availing of nearly every financial service Credet has to offer. These include A2R Asset Finance, BETUR Back-to-Back Finance, DETUR Debtor Finance, and more recently FETUR Future Revenue Finance, which has helped them grow and service customers across Ireland and the UK. As our client is based in the Golden Vale, County Tipperary, a region known for its rich dairy production, they've built a thriving business producing cheese and yogurts for retailers and wholesalers alike. What began as a modest product line has evolved into a premium range with over 50 dairy products, sourcing milk from their own herd and nearby farms, ensuring only the highest quality is used in their production process. They have a deep commitment to both farming and cheese production, which has enabled them to create delicious, award-winning products, which can be tailored to meet individual customer requirements. As a result, they take pride in their fully integrated production process from pasture to plate, with orders delivered within 48 hours, moving from field, factory to freight. This increased success has brought with it financial constraints, particularly when purchasing stock and meeting customer demands. To address these challenges, they joined Credet and began using our DETUR Debtor Finance facility, allowing them access working capital by drawing down on the purchase payment price on their aged receivables. As they proved themselves reliable with good debtor payment history, Credet extended our offer to allow them avail of BETUR Finance facility in 2016. Since then, they have traded substantial sums across their debtor and creditor statements, with a total traded to date on their debtor accounts standing at 25 million, with a further 19.5 million pounds traded with UK-based customers. An additional 4.5 million has been accessed through their creditor finance, enabling them to expand their business and secure additional customer orders. Our client is also known locally for their commitment to sustainable practices and are constantly striving to reduce impacts on the environment through efficient farming and production techniques. This has been achieved through fine-tuning their manufacturing process, all while trying to enhance flavour and unlock cost savings. These improvements have brought with them increased orders, but do require initial setup costs, purchasing new modern equipment. Due to this, our client has availed of Credet's ETUR asset facility, helping them make purchases so they can implement changes which other businesses may find difficult in today's economic climate. As a result, our client requested Credet's assistance, purchasing a new modern pasteurizer and homogenizer system costing €62,000. Once installed, the system was able to start delivering savings of over €500 per week in oil and electricity, while also reducing overall labor requirements in their production process. To facilitate this investment, our originator secured ETUR asset finance using Credet's ETUR exchange traded receivables purchasing model, which utilizes investable funds. Credet purchases the creditor asset on behalf of our client so they can obtain the physical asset, which in turn contributes to generating profit for the company. This type of finance helps businesses bridge the gap and improve cash flow, all while reducing the risk of default and not fulfilling existing customer orders. From this facility, Credet generates a modest profit based on the number of days outstanding and then uses the sell rate charge to settle investors and pay intermediary commissions. In addition to this ETUR facility, our client has made several other production-related purchases, which include the purchasing of a cheese vat costing €14,000, used for large-scale production, an upgraded boiler for €47,000, as well as a submersible pump for €10,000, used for milk handling and cleaning operations. Our client does have further aspirations of purchasing a biodigester, which could be supported with a grant from the Irish Bioenergy Association. And as this system operates on cattle slurry and cheese whey, it will help reduce their overall reliance on oil and electricity, which is currently costing them around €120,000 per annum. By implementing a biodigester, they will be able to access additional savings and will also be eligible for an annual rebate of €30,000. However, as this total cost to purchase and install the system is significantly higher than any previous ATR facilities which have been granted, Credet will have to conduct extensive due diligence and carry out a feasibility study before considering supporting this investment. That said, Credet remains committed to leverage investable funds, ensuring our clients can achieve their maximum potential, all while Credet capitalizes on market opportunities which present themselves. Hope you found this presentation informative. I will now pass you over to Maria, who's going to discuss some of the key global factors along with Credet's recent trading figures.
Yeah, thanks for that, Stephen. It's always very interesting to hear about originator companies, especially a company that's been with us for so long on the exchange. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that March started off at 1,285. The index rose sharply throughout the first half of the month, reaching a high of 1,672. It remained steady in the latter half of the month, ending at a figure of 1,602. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,398 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. So moving to global news, we see that the Eurozone economy slowed in April as trade tensions dragged the services sector into contraction. S&P Global's Purchasing Managers Index came in at 50.1 in April, only fractionally above the 50.0 no change mark, signaling stagnant business activity. The European Central Bank has cut interest rates for the seventh time since summer 2024, as policymakers reacted to the threat of major tariffs being placed on European exports by US President Donald Trump. The ECB's benchmark rate now stands at 2.25%, following the latest 0.25 percentage point cut. The ECB is expected to lower interest rates again in June, with the incoming shock from tariffs now the bank's primary focus. ECB policymaker Francois Villeroy stated on Monday that the central bank still has a margin for rate cuts in Europe. Looking at the UK, growth in the UK's economy is set to be slower than previously predicted as a result of the trade disruption and uncertainty caused by the US trade tariffs, as per the latest reports from the EY Item Club. It forecasts UK growth at 0.8% this year and estimates a figure of 0.9% for 2026. S&P Global's PMI hit a 29-month low of 48.20 points in April, down from 51.5 points in March, with weaker demand from international markets weighing on business activity in both the manufacturing and service sectors. Traders also unanimously predict that the Bank of England will cut rates at its policy meeting on May 8th. Moving to the US, we see that US consumer confidence plunged for the fifth straight month to its lowest level since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, as anxiety over the impact of tariffs took a heavy toll. Consumer Confidence Index fell by 7.9 points to 86 in April. President Trump has imposed a tariff of 10% on nearly all imports, as well as 145% tariff on most goods from China. This is in addition to the 25% tariffs on all steel, aluminium, and car imports, which affect the European Union. Despite this, stocks continued their recent climb as optimism slowly spread among investors that the tariff turmoil won't hurt US earnings or the economy as badly as feared. The Dow Jones Industrial Average increased 0.7%, while the S&P 500 gained 0.6% and the NASDAQ Composite ended 0.5% higher. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of €51.43 million, with 71.74 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 64, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 9.60 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 4.23 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Skanska Costain, EKFB, and Geogas Trading. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, are construction debtors Skanska Costain and EKFB. Tarmac Trading is also back near the top, with CBRE and Atradius moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing the sector. Construction was our second largest in performance this month, which is represented by Skanska Costain and EKFB in our largest holdings for March. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we look to the performance sector, we see that for month 3 of 2025, trading totaled 9.60 million euro, which is circa 16% lower than the 11.53 million euro traded in month 3 of 2024. Volumes increased for this month as the value-to-volume ratio increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions also increased to 2.28 million euro, with the credit index at 64 for March. Finally, continuing its strong performance trend, the construction sector registered the largest trade in March at 1.47 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started at 2.167% and decreased throughout the first half of March, reaching a low of 2.121%. It fluctuated slightly in the middle of the month before slowly increasing again to end the month at 2.147%, with potential for April's rates to ease and remain steady. As you all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.50%, fixed at 4.25% for 12 months, and term at 15% at the end of 36 months. This section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and equitable ETFs, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it's predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the active RSA figure of 51.43 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for March 2025.